Valley's fun music.
Lots and lots of fun.
All day long.
105.7 CFW.
Please tell me now. Please tell me now. Please tell me now. Please tell me now.
CFW.
Round and round, upside down.
1057 CFW.
The Valley's Fun Music. 1057 CFW is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios. Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Bug Tussle Wireless.
Bug Tussle.
Identify yourself.
WCFW FM and WCFW HD1, Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the entire Chippewa Valley.
A civic media radio station.
FM has always stood for fine music. And now, FM stands for fun music too. This is the Valley's Fun Music. 105.7
CFW.
Chippewa Valley.
This is InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's what's happening on this week's show.
For most Americans, there's no escaping the annual change known as daylight saving time. Why was it created in the first place? Has it outlived its usefulness? And are farmers the reason it exists in the first place?
It is not only false, it is 100% false. From the very beginning, farmers were testifying against the proposal.
Then, Medicare recipients are getting bombarded with marketing messages, most about Medicare Advantage. Some are misleading and worse.
They tell them, I'm calling from the Medicare helpline, and it's actually a private marketing agency and not Medicare. So it's very concerning that there's so many bad actors that have been out there.
Those two stories and more are coming your way on this week's InfoTrack. Stay tuned. It all begins right after this.
Save on stuff you really need and stuff you bought for fun. Stuff you've always really wanted this holiday at Amazon. Stuff that is discounted if you're naughty or you're nice. Stuff to buy your grandma who drinks her Chardonnay with ice. Stuff to make you big and strong. Stuff we can't name in this song. Stuff for lawns and decking halls. Save big on stuff at
Exergen thermometers are the smart choice when selecting a thermometer. With children back at school, keeping them healthy is important. Got a fever? Stay home. To detect fever accurately at home, you need a fast, non-invasive, and clinically accurate thermometer. The Exergen thermometer is backed by over 100 clinical studies. Accuracy matters. Be smart and safe. Measure accurately with Exergen thermometers. Available at Walmart and other participating retailers. Learn more at Exergen.com. That's Exergen.com.
Get big savings and big rewards during Provember at Lowe's. Right now, MVP's members earn 3 times the bonus points on DeWalt products and save $200 on a DeWalt sliding compound miter saw. Plus, earn 3 times the bonus points on Little Giant products and save $70 on a Little Giant multi-position 14-foot ladder. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts, if any. Valid through 11/22.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on identifyepi.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's identifyepi.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
InfoTrack, the weekly show with information you should know. Here's your host, Chris Whitting.
Most Americans endure the annual time change known as daylight saving time. But what's the history behind it? And has it outlived its benefits? InfoTrack's Roy Mackey has the story. Roy?
Thanks, Chris. David Prerow is the author of Seize the Daylight, the curious and contentious story of daylight saving time. David, we'll get into the possible future of daylight saving time in a moment, but let's talk about the past. There seems to be some disagreement about where and when the idea of daylight saving time first was conceived. Tell us about that.
Okay, well, there's actually 3 different people that you can talk about. The basic concept, as far as we know, goes back to Benjamin Franklin. In 1784, he was U.S. ambassador to France, living in Paris, and used to go to diplomatic events late into the night and sleep till noon every day. One day he woke up early, 6 in the morning. He had the idea, wouldn't it be better if everybody woke up a little closer to sunrise and made better use of sunlight? However, Franklin didn't really have any good mechanism to do it, so he had the idea, but nothing came from it. The second is a man named George Vernon Hudson. He lived in New Zealand, and he was the first person, as far as we know, that had the idea of moving the clocks forward in the spring and summer to make better use of daylight. He proposed it in New Zealand, and it fell very flat, and so nothing ever came from that. So the person whose idea has led to the daylight saving time we've had for over 100 years is a man named William Willett. He lived outside of London, a town called Chislehurst, and he used to get up each morning at sunrise And while he was doing his morning horseback rides, he would see that nobody was up. And yet it was a beautiful spring and summer morning. And so he thought, what could we do about it? Then he had the idea, completely separate from the previous guy, to also move the clocks forward. He spent 2 years coming up with a detailed proposal. And in 1908, he got it as a bill in Parliament. But Parliament rejected it. 1915, he passed away. And when he died, people thought his idea would die with him. But the Germans had heard of his idea, and it was the middle of the First World War, and they were looking for ways to save energy. They realized that if they moved the clocks forward with more daylight in the evening, they wouldn't have to use expensive coal to light their manufacturing plants that were making the war materials. And so Germany was actually the first country to adopt daylight saving time in 1916. As soon as they did, the British, who had rejected Willett's idea for many years, 1 month later, they put in daylight saving time. And eventually, most of the countries on both sides of World War I put in daylight saving time. We put in daylight saving time in 1918. And so that's how it started.
Most of us have heard that farmers were the biggest proponents of daylight saving time. True or false?
It is not only false, it is 100% false. Somehow that idea has spread around to a lot of people, but from the very beginning, from the time that Willett proposed it in Parliament, the farmers were testifying against the proposal. And all over the world, and every time that daylight saving time has been proposed, it's the farmers and the rural people that have been against it. But it's 100% wrong to think that it's for the farmers. It's really, they were the main people against it.
Many Americans were under the misimpression that we were doing away with daylight saving time, or at least the annual time change, sometime soon. Can you give us an update on where that stands and why the effort apparently was derailed?
Well, there's been proposals in Congress on and off for many years to make changes or to have year-round daylight saving time or not daylight saving time at all. And what happened recently in the previous Congress, the Senate passed a bill to have year-round daylight saving time, basically on a voice vote with no analysis or committee hearings or anything. But when it went to the House started looking at it more seriously, and they found that not only was it unclear what to do about having daylight saving time year-round or not, or have the current system, but they found that there was a third alternative, which was to have no daylight saving time at all, standard time all year. So there were three different options. It wasn't clear which was best, and so Congress never passed it. And once the new Congress came in, the Senate passage got wiped out and would have to be passed again. So right now, there's proposals in the Senate and the House, but nothing has passed. So they're still talking about it. But the proposal of having daylight saving time year-round, we did try in 1974, and it was so unpopular that even though the original bill to put it in was a temporary bill that would have it in for 2 years, Congress repealed the second year of it. So we only had it for 1 year because it was so unpopular. So we have tried that system and it hasn't worked. The problem with year-round daylight time is it makes already late winter sunrises 1 hour later. Many cities would have sunrises at 8:30 or 9 or later. And you'd have 8:30 sunrises in cities like New York, Chicago, Dallas, Denver, San Francisco. 9 a.m. in Detroit, Minneapolis, Seattle, and some places should have even later than 9 a.m. Well, if you have sunrise at 9 a.m., everybody's, or almost everybody's, waking up in the dark, going to work in the dark, or going to school in the dark. And it's even worse, of course, in colder climates where it's cold before the sun rises. So anyway, those are the negatives. And also, circadian cycle and sleep people say early daylight is more important than late daylight for getting your cycle in order. So those are the arguments against year-round daylight time. The second alternative is year-round standard time, which is to have winter time all year round and have no daylight time at all, never. So for 8 months of the year, we would have sunrise an hour earlier than we have now and sunset an hour earlier. Well, of course, one thing it would do is it would take away 8 months of beautiful spring and summer evenings. Daylight in the evening, because it would take away that extra hour of daylight in the evening. But also in the spring, summer, and fall, there's a lot of benefits of daylight saving time. It reduces traffic accidents, it reduces crime, cuts energy usage, and it's good for public health because when it's more daylight in the evening, it gets people out more to do activities. Could be playing a sport, could be gardening, could be just taking a walk. but it gets people out more, so it's good for the public health as well. Under that law that I mentioned, every state could choose to either have daylight time or year-round standard time. So that's still a choice that any state can make right now. Right now, of all the states, only two states have chosen year-round standard time. One is Hawaii, and they have a unique situation of all the states. They are the most southern state. And when you get close to the equator, the sun rises and sets over the year are much more close to being the same than they are in other parts of the country. And so the benefit of daylight saving time isn't as much for them. The one state of the other ones that do not have daylight saving time right now is Arizona. And Arizona has a unique situation in that the most populated parts of the state, the cities of Phoenix and Tucson, get very, very hot in the summer. And it's so hot that Arizonans don't want in the summer an extra hour of daylight where that heat is going to last another hour into the evening. But they want the sun to go down and the temperature goes down at least a little bit. But no other state does that situation apply to. And so all the other states have using the current daylight system.
So what are your thoughts on the future of daylight saving time? Will we still have it another 100 years down the road?
I have absolutely no idea. It's changed several times in length. We used to have 6 months of daylight saving time. We changed it to 7 months of daylight saving time. Now we have 8 months of daylight saving time. I personally think that's a reasonable amount. It gives us sort of the maximum daylight saving time you can have without starting to have really dark mornings around the country.
David Prerow, the author of Seize the Daylight, the curious and contentious story of daylight saving time. David, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
Next, are you getting bombarded with Medicare marketing messages? That story, straight ahead.
There's more InfoTrack coming up. Stay tuned.
Get big savings and big rewards during Provember at Lowe's. Right now, MVP's members earn 3 times the bonus points on DeWalt products and save $200 on a DeWalt sliding compound miter saw. Plus, earn 3 times the bonus points on Little Giant products and save $70 on a Little Giant multi-position 14-foot ladder. Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows pros. While supplies last, selection varies by location. Bonus points calculated before taxes and fees after applicable discounts, if any. Valid through 11/22.
Save on stuff you really need and stuff you bought for fun. Stuff you've always really wanted this holiday at Amazon. Stuff that is discounted if you're naughty or you're nice. Stuff to buy your grandma who drinks her Chardonnay with ice. Stuff to make you big and strong. Stuff we can name in this song. Stuff for lawns and decking halls. Save big on stuff at Amazon. Stuff.
Imagine getting ahead of your irritable bowel syndrome with constipation or IBS-C by treating it with Linzess. Then you could start proactively managing your constipation with belly pain and get ahead of your symptoms. Talk to your doctor about Linzess, linaclotide. Linzess is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually.
Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling.
Imagine, what could relief from IBS-C mean for you? Talk to your doctor and say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
You're listening to InfoTrack. To learn more about our guests or listen to past shows, visit InfoTrack online at InfoTrackRadio.com. Once again, here's Chris Whitting.
Well, unless you've been living in a cave, you've probably seen or heard marketing ads for Medicare Advantage, and some of the ads feature well-known celebrities. Why so many ads, and what's it all mean? Joining us to explain is Martha Clopin, Medicare expert, nationally syndicated radio host, and founder of GetToInsurance.com. Martha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Chris. I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's start with a basic question. What is Medicare Advantage as compared to regular Medicare?
A Medicare Advantage plan
is different from original Medicare because basically what you're doing is you're assigning your original Medicare Parts A and B that you get from your government to a private insurance company that has a contract with Medicare, and then Medicare pays them to process all the claims. So that's what a Medicare Advantage, also known as Part C plan, is.
Could you give us an idea of the primary concerns that have arisen regarding all of the Medicare Advantage advertisements?
Absolutely, Chris, because they've actually affected Get to Insurance, our agency. We have a number of people in the past few months, they've called us to say, hey, I'm so sorry, I think I made a mistake. And we're like, what mistake? And they said, I was picking up some medication from the local drugstore, and there was someone at a table, and they said, oh, they needed to let me know about some additional information. And next thing I know, I was giving them my zip code, my address, my Medicare number, and I just got a letter saying that my plan has changed, and I did not want a plan change. So this is something that's happening throughout the country, and the Senate Finance Committee did a report. Would you like to hear some of these complaints from 14 different states?
Sure.
Again, as I said, seniors shopping at their local grocery store get approached, and next thing you know, their Medicare Advantage plan has been changed. Also, sometimes they're told that their doctors are covered when they're not. So they only find out, they go to the doctor and they say, oh, this insurance doesn't work for us. And the third and final one, many times someone will sign up for something called Part B Give Back. They're told that they'll get more back in their Social Security check. But what they don't know is that plan does not include prescription drug coverage. So they go to pick up their medications and they find out no drug coverage. So this is why these deceptive practices are now being scrutinized, because you're not going to believe this number. Over 16,000 people reported complaints not knowing how their plan got changed.
We're talking with Martha Klopin, a nationally recognized Medicare expert. We're talking about Medicare Advantage. Martha, a research study found that 25% of TV ads gave the impression that these plans are affiliated with the federal Medicare system. Does that concern you?
Absolutely. A lot of people are confused. If you have the word Medicare in the name, they assume that it's from the federal government. But many sort of bad actors have been using the word Medicare to sort of distract people and also misinform them. So they tell them, oh, I'm calling from the Medicare helpline, and it's actually a private marketing agency and not Medicare. But people think they need to provide this information because Medicare needs it. So it's very concerning for those of us who legitimately help people day after day have access to the right Medicare plans for them. Very concerning that there's so many bad actors that have been out there. And I think the COVID-19 lockdown contributed to this situation, because people used to go out and meet with someone face to face. But over the last few years, there's a lot of telephonic enrollments that have been allowed. And I think that has contributed to the problem.
Now, some retirees prefer Advantage plans over Medigap policies. Can you break down the differences between the two for our listeners?
Absolutely. The differences between a Medicare Advantage plan and a Medigap plan, also known as Medicare Supplement, first of all, people get confused. You cannot have both plans operating at the same time. It's one or the other. With a Medicare Advantage plan, also known as Part C, as in comprehensive, you have assigned your Medicare Part A and your Medicare Part B to the private insurance company that has a contract with Medicare, and they will process all your claims. Sometimes, you know, there's a premium, could be a zero, or maybe you'll pay a little bit to have that plan, but you will also have co-pays or co-insurance when you see providers. In a Medicare supplement plan, you will be still using your red, white, and blue Medicare Part A and Part B card. You don't assign that to anyone. Claims will be processed through Original Medicare. The supplement plan will pay whatever Medicare doesn't cover, depending upon which Medicare supplement plan you choose, and you may have as little as zero to pay. So the way I tell people to look at it is your Medigap plan covers the gaps, and you'll pay monthly for that plan, but you may have zero when you have services. And a Medicare Advantage plan, you may pay zero per month, but when you go for services, you pay as you go.
Okay, excellent explanation. Thank you. Talking about the marketing of this Medicare Advantage, the government is involved, and the Senate Finance Committee recently said beneficiaries are being inundated with aggressive marketing tactics. What would some of those tactics look like so people can sort of be on the defense?
One that I didn't bring up is the postcards. A lot of people get very official looking postcards that tell them, we need you to confirm your name, your address, your birth date, and your Medicare number immediately. And people think that this is coming from the government, and they send this information out. Then they get a phone call from someone, and that's how they're able to change their plan without them really understanding what's going on. So they think that these postcards and communications are coming from Medicare, but they're not. So they're called lookalike official communications, but it's absolutely not from the federal government. So you should always call 1-800-MEDICARE. That's 1-800-MEDICARE and say, hey, I got this postcard. Is this from you? And I will tell you that Medicare does not send postcards.
Okay. And I understand they even use a logo on the postcard that looks like the official Medicare logo sometimes to trick you.
Absolutely. And sometimes there's fine print that tells you a salesperson will call, but it is so small that is no way you can make it out. So this is what's been going on. So the government is planning to crack down on it October 1st of 2023. Some new rules have been released, but bad actors always find their way around those rules. The other one that was very concerning is when they use a celebrity to say, you're missing out. Something about the thought that you're missing out, the fear of missing out, seems to attract the Medicare population because they don't want to miss out on benefits that they're entitled to. So that's another way that some of these marketing tactics that were false and misleading were able to grab those seniors. They're using a celebrity that was popular when they were maybe young, and they believe that this celebrity is going to, you know, get them something that they deserve.
And that doesn't just go for seniors, but also if you have a loved one or a family member who is at that age.
Absolutely, Chris. So adult children definitely need to get in the mix and make sure they're sharing these deceptive practices out there with their parents so they understand not to fall for those traps.
Great advice. Martha Clopin, Medicare expert, nationally syndicated radio host, and she is founder of get2insurance.com. That's the word get, the number 2insurance.com. Martha, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Chris.
You're listening to InfoTrack, a production of Syndication Networks of Chicago.
Save on stuff you really need and stuff you bought for fun. Stuff you always really wanted this holiday at Amazon. Stuff that is discounted if you're naughty or you're nice. Stuff to buy your grandma who drinks her Chardonnay with ice. Stuff to make you big and strong. Stuff we can name in this song. Stuff for lawns and decking halls. Say big on stuff at Amazon. Stuff.
What's for dinner? Burgers?
After last week, no thanks.
Avoiding foods due to fear of diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain, or loose, oily stools? It may not be just stomach issues. It could be EPI, or exocrine pancreatic insufficiency. EPI can cause uncomfortable symptoms because it's a condition where the pancreas doesn't release enough digestive enzymes to break down food. But EPI can be managed. Use the symptom checker on IdentifyEPI.com and talk to your doctor about your symptoms. That's IdentifyEPI.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
A research study has a worrisome warning for those diagnosed with ADHD in midlife. With this story, here again, InfoTrack's Roy Mackey. Roy?
Thanks again, Chris. Mikhail Schneider-Beery is the director of the Herbert and Jacqueline Krieger Klein Alzheimer's Research Center at Rutgers Brain Health Institute, and she was the co-author of this study that followed more than 100,000 older adults in Israel over 17 years to examine if adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder are at increased risk for dementia, including Alzheimer's disease. So Dr. Beery, tell us a bit about this study and, most importantly, what you found.
So we used an Israeli healthcare organization data to investigate whether people who were diagnosed at midlife with ADHD were at high risk for developing dementia in old age. And our findings show that if we account for several things that could confound their results, still we see an almost threefold increased risk for ADHD people to develop dementia later in life. That's the main finding. A secondary finding is that when we adjusted for medications for ADHD, such as Ritalin and others, this relationship essentially disappeared.
What theories are there that might explain the connection between ADHD and dementia?
You know, a study like this that is observational, we can't really know. But there are a few things that we can think of. One of them is that ADHD is a condition of the brain, and it does affect functioning of the patients. We think that possibly a solely healthy brain can handle for a longer period of time the aggregation of Alzheimer's pathology while the person continues functioning normally and their memory is normal. But when there is a decrease in that capacity, decrease in what we call brain and cognitive reserve, then Alzheimer's pathology, quote-unquote, wins, and this risk is essentially increased. That's one possible explanation. Second explanation is that ADHD is accompanied by behavioral and cognitive problems. Part of the behavioral problems are impulsivity, and often ADHD patients, they have their nutrition is not the greatest. They tend to be obese, especially in midlife. And poor nutrition, obesity, diabetes, hypertension, things that come with poor nutrition and obesity, they are themselves risk factors for Alzheimer's disease.
ADHD was not really well recognized or understood when today's seniors were young, which I think is when it would typically be diagnosed for many people. So are there many older adults who perhaps have ADHD but are not aware of it today?
It's likely. Just like you said, because we mostly view it until this day, and with good reason, as a condition of childhood, a developmental condition. So to this day, the focus of ADHD is as a developmental condition, and rightly so. It is highly likely that middle age and older adults that had ADHD as children were not identified as such because there wasn't focus or interest or understanding that this is a condition that affects significantly the functioning of the kid and eventually of the adult and even older adult.
And what is the percentage of adults today who have been diagnosed with ADHD?
So those numbers range between 2 and 5% worldwide.
If you could offer our listeners just one takeaway message from your overall research, what would you say?
I would say our study can't prove that ADHD causes Alzheimer's disease. That said, what I would recommend is that people who have ADHD in adult and they feel for any reason that there is something happening to their cognition, they should go to a doctor. They should have kind of a baseline assessment of their cognitive status. Most likely, the doctor is going to say that everything is okay, but that baseline will serve them essentially forever. Because if 2, 3, 5, 10 years later, the patient feels that there is a decline, they can go back to that baseline information and see if that decline is just a subjective memory complaint, something coming from anxiety or thinking that something is wrong, or to see if there is an objective change, and then the doctor can address this issue in the most, let's say, aggressive way of bringing everything that is available in the field at that point to help that person prevent additional decline in cognition.
Mikhail Schneider-Berry, the director of the Herbert and Jacqueline Krieger Klein Alzheimer's Research Center at Rutgers Brain Health Institute. Thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
And for InfoTrack, I'm Roy Mackey.
That'll do it for this edition of InfoTrack. Our executive producer is Randy Meyer, and I'm Chris Whitten. Thanks for listening. Join us next time for another edition of InfoTrack.
Attention.
Attention all employees of all other radio stations.
Caught you listening again. We understand.
But we're not going to hire you.
Yeah, but, wait, huh?
The Valley's Fun Music, 105.7 CFW.
1057 CFW. This is 105.7 CFW. Such a part of the valley is Trinity Equestrian Center and the Children's Center. This is 105.7 CFW, the Valley's Farm Music.